Perry, Benny, and also Jenny and Ivy will share their some insight experience from the Ghana short term mission team. I love the term doing life together. I think through the short term mission team, of a teammate, among themselves, we have some doing life together experience, and also with the local people in Ghana, we have a great experience and a lot of interesting we learn from them. Maybe you heard about the hashtag 10 years challenge. Maybe you also do something on Facebook or social media. 10 years ago, we sent a first team go to Ghana. We learn and serve with the Ghanaian people. I see a picture, whoa, not much change. I only have more white hair and yeah, almost the same. But I think look back 10 years ago, you know, keep sending team, seven team go to Ghana and serve with the local people, share the gospel to the Muslim people, and also make disciples in Ghana. I think one point I would like to highlight is we learn more. We are so blessed through the ministry. We learn more from my brother and sister in Ghana. And this is the picture when I baptized people in 2018. When we interact with the people, when we so-called we share the gospel and build up the people in Ghana. But through the interaction, their life, how they follow Christ and their faith in Christ, they really impact us. I can say I learned a lot from them. This is why I picked this scripture from Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It echoes what I learned in the last seven Ghana short-term mission team, especially the last one. Paul said, I want to share God's spiritual gift to the people, the brother and sister in Rome. I want to drink strength from them. What is spiritual gift? I think there's a reason why Paul wants to go to Rome. In the scripture, there are three major reasons. The first one, 11, I want to share the gospel, spiritual gift. And verse 13, you want to reap some harvest. And then 15, you want to preach the gospel. Together with the church in Rome, you want to share the gospel to the end of the world. It's something in Paul's mind and also in his heart. You want to do something together. But interesting, you know that only the Holy Spirit, only God himself can give the spiritual gift to the brother and sister and also to the church. Why Paul said, I want to share the spiritual gift to the brother and sister in Rome? Only God can do that. You want to see, when you want to understand the meaning, you need to go through the big picture, talk about the gift in Book of Romans. There's five times, except chapter 1, besides chapter 1, there's five times mentioned about gift. The first three times talk about salvation. It's the free gift, salvation from God. And then the third time, in chapter 11, verse 29, talk about God called. God chose Israel to be his people. It is by God's grace, not because Israel, they're good enough to be children of God or people of God. It's by God's grace. It is grace chosen by God. And then the last one, chapter 12, verse 6, it is the only time you talk about spiritual gift related to the ability and skill when you serve in the church. We'll see the big picture. So the gift, the meaning of gift, not just limit to the skill and ability. You can say that it is spiritual blessing. Paul wants to share with the brother and sister in Rome. Share the spiritual blessing to the church and brother and sister. Help them and to strengthen them. I think it is normal, right? Paul is more superior, Apostle Paul, he wants to bless the church. But verse 12, very interesting point and verse. It mentioned that Paul said, I want to see you and I want to be mutually encouraged by each other faith, both yours and mine. Wow. We think about Apostle Paul, he's more superior, you know, he wants to bless the people, share the spiritual blessing to the people, to the church. It makes sense. But Paul said, no, not only you receive the blessing, I, Apostle Paul, I also receive the blessing, be strengthened by you too. It is what I learned, what we learn in Ghana. We go to Ghana, we share the gospel, we help to build a church, build a school, share a lot of resources. Like we from top down, share the spiritual blessing to the brothers and sisters or in a remote village in Ghana. But actually, their faith, how they follow Christ, really strengthen us. So Paul mentioned faith, not about church building, not about your money, not about your Bible knowledge, not about your education, no, about faith, how you follow Christ, how you put your faith in Christ, how you trust the Lord. This is what we learn from brother and sister in Ghana. When you go to Ghana, maybe you think, well, we have a lot of things. No, there's so many fear, so many worry. What's your faith? Through the interaction, they charge us, inspire us, and encourage us, and strengthen us how to put our faith in Christ, how to follow Christ, how to really trust the Lord in your life and also in your ministry. That's what we learn about faith in Christ. I will share some picture about the last trip. It's one of the church where we serve in Bambila. Pastor Emmanuel, the pastor we support through a mission board and mission fund. One pastor taking care of seven churches. The leader told me, I can see they can only meet their pastor every two months. So every time only the pastor and sister share the gospel, share the word of God during the Sunday worship. One pastor serve seven churches. So many need, but I can see their faith. I can see their joy in their worship. And also throughout the ministry, I can see my brother and sister, my teammate, how they step out from their comfort zone, how to serve the Lord. And this is the picture inside the church. You can see, nothing, only some basic chair and table. Even the ground, so dusty, right? Not like us. No, there's no carpet. I see their joy, how they dance, how they worship, full of joy. And I asked Jenny, one of my teammates, to share the message. I never heard about how he shared the message to the children. He was assigned to be a Sunday school assistant this year. But throughout the presentation, she did a great job. I think she's not only entitled to be an assistant, she can be a good Sunday school teacher to teaching the children about Jesus and about the gospel. And also another time, when I'm teaching the gospel and Bible knowledge to the adult, there's so many kids. I think, Jenny, take care of the children. 2.5 hours to anything, 20, 30 children outside. I think she did a great job how to lead the children about the Bible song, the Bible message, also a lot of game. Did a great job. Every time I can see the faith and also in our ministry growth and also keep improving. Another teammate, Ivy. This is my second time I served with her. The first time in 2008, the first time I served with Ivy in Ghana. But this time, I can see, be more mature, more brave, how to share the gospel in public. And this is one of the things, we share the gospel in the public market. You can see so many people. You can see Ivy, right? It's not easy. I can see, how she served God, share the gospel, talk about her faith, testimony, Bible message, to all the people, to all the adults in the public area. Another teammate, Benny, it is my first time I saw her share the gospel in public. It's not easy, facing 50 people or 40 people, share the Bible message. It's not easy, but I can see everyone do their best, step out from their comfort zone. And then Nikki, he keeps sharing his testimony. He writes down his testimony, but every night I saw him keep revising his testimony. When he see the people, when he meet the people, he think he need to change something in order to help the people understand the message and testimony. He do a good job, keep modify his testimony. You can see, he only preaching to this group of brothers and sisters on the left-hand side. But actually, we see the big picture. On the right-hand side and left-hand side, there's so many village people. They're non-Christian. They listen to his testimony, listen to the message. So think about this, without my preaching to three football people, they want to hear about your message, your testimony. Quite a challenge, right? I think everyone, they do a good job. One of the unforgettable memories is interact with the local pastor. This is a Pastor Mark. Wow, he showed his hospitality. 2 days, he invited us, the whole team, to have lunch in their home. Wow, every time almost spent 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours to prepare the lunch, kill the chicken, start from everything, and then 5 hours, I think, wasting our time. I really want to go to village, share the gospel to the Muslim people. They love to learn about Jesus. I don't want to spend time, keep eating the lunch, 4 hours, 5 hours. And then he keep talking to me a lot of issues, a lot of things. I think, out of patience. Come on, so many hours. Listen to you. I want to share the gospel to the people in the village. When I look back, when I more understand his struggle, his situation, it really touched my heart. He's come from a Muslim village, Muslim family. He's the first Christian in his family, and then his family, the whole village, kicked him out. He's running around in different countries in West Africa. Even he got married. None of the family showed up in his wedding. As a church planter, he served in this side, in this small town, for the last 2 years. No pastor come to help him, even his supervisor. No one showed up to encourage him. So he meet me and then keep talking about so many struggle, family struggle, ministry struggle. Even his personal life, so many worry. Keep talking to me and share with me. I think, wow. At the beginning, I think, wasting my time. But when I look back, I may be the only one to listen to him. Give him space to share his struggle. There's no fellowship, no companion. Now we have fellowship, we have cell group, we have so many brothers and sisters, walk with you, pray with you. But many solo pastor in a small town, it's a church planter, they're so lonely. No one come to support him, no one come to listen to him, no one come to pray with him. But through the interaction, Perry will share more, his life, his ministry, inspire me how to really follow Christ. And also we have chance to baptize two brothers in a village. There's only two Christians in this village. They keep asking, what's the future? We have no church building. How can we survive? I keep mentioning that through the Bible, church is not equivalent to church building. Church is the people. Church is the people of God, not about building. Keep encouraging him. No, even we don't have a church building, but we have you. You're the only two Christians in this village. Share your life, share your testimony to the people. Also, have a chance to do a door-to-door ministry to share the gospel. I have a chance to bring many people to Christ. This family is very interesting. The man in the middle, he's a leprosy. I think, well, how can I help him? It's leprosy. I can see his hand and feet, only two finger remain. I said, wow, how can we help him? And then I share the gospel and lead him to say a sinner prayer, confess their sin and invite Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then another lady, he carried a yellow balloon from the neighborhood. Come, pastor, pray for me. The evil spirit come attack me. Pray for me. So I also led her to accept Jesus Christ and don't follow Christ. I think come to leprosy, come to evil spirit. Nothing you can do about your education, your money. Nothing you can do. Only by the gospel and Jesus can save the people. And their faith really inspired me. Only rely on Jesus. Only Jesus can help us. What about me? What about we? How can we follow Christ? How can we serve him? How about our faith? And go to another village. There's only two Christians in this village. And then the local people ask me, hey, come to encourage the local Christian. So I visit this family. The lady beside me is one of the two Christians in this village. I supposed to encourage her to follow Christ. But she told me every Sunday, because there's no church in this village, every Sunday he walked 2 hours back and forth, 2 hours to find a church to worship God. 2 hours on foot. I'm not going to encourage her. Her faith encouraged me how to follow Christ, how to commit your life to Christ. I think I would like to share more, but I think I have my teammate going to share their testimony. I want to share one of the photos. 10 years ago, we have a discipleship with the young people, teenager in village. We have no power, no electricity. We only have a candle. We have candlelight Bible study. Very tough, you know. Wow, with a candle, read the Bible together. But 10 years later, when I visit the young people again, he become a church leader. He go to university, still follow quite faithfully. And this guy go to Bible seminary. I think when you serve the Lord, we need faith. We put a seed in their life, and God will make them grow. And all through the interaction, how they commit Christ, how they follow Christ, inspire us, strengthen our faith, encourage us how to follow Christ. Maybe I pass the time to Benny, and then Perry, Ivy, and Jenny share their insight and experience in the Ghana short mission team. Benny, you want to go first? Okay, Benny.
Hi. So I went to Ghana, and this is my first mission trip. And when I went, I thought, oh, you know, I've traveled a couple places. I can probably handle it. No. Africa is a very different place from anywhere else I've ever been. And so for me, the initial shock was the culture. So for us, something that takes us, I don't know, maybe half an hour to do at, you know, at home, whether it's washing dishes, cooking a meal, throw something in the microwave, you know, wash your clothes. For them, it takes an entire day. And so when I first went there, my mentality was, okay, how do we help them become like us? Because we're Western, we're right, we're developed. And I went back learning that I was very wrong, because they have a lot of things in their culture that work for them, given their history, their culture, their economic status, and it'd be very hard for me to survive there on my own without an organization. And another thing I learned was that the way missions worked. So we went to a village, and this one village, the last village we went to, called Bimbila, they didn't have any running water, any electricity, and we, you know, they were, you know, asking for all of this kind of stuff. But I think I was thinking, well, how much does it cost to get a well in here? How much does it cost to, you know, to build all these things for them, like a school, a church, and all these types of things? It's like, it's not that much money, but it's, you know, and we wanted to provide as much as we could. Again, this is my first time going on a missions trip, and after we went to talk to, like, Reverend Xavier and Ivy, they were saying, no, you know, you can provide all these things, but you have to remember that it's a long-term, you know, it's a long-term thing. You can't just, you know, give it all to them, because the next team that comes, they're going to be expecting that much more, like another church maybe, you know, from them. So setting a precedent was something that I learned. And the people there, they have a lot of things that we don't have. Things that, you know, like community. Here in Vancouver, there's so much loneliness, but there's still loneliness, but there's still, you know, there's a lot more community there. And the way they do things is just as one. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from their culture. And then the last thing was that here, I don't normally like go around sharing the gospel as much as I should, but there you show up at a village, and then Reverend Xavier is like, okay, Benny, go. And then I'm like, okay. And then the first time I was like, okay, I have no idea what I'm saying. Just like no idea. And this is when you really feel the Holy Spirit, because you really have no idea. And then the next time, it gets better and better and better and better. And I, you know, you pray, and, you know, you don't really know how it happens, but it happens. And so thank you, Holy Spirit. And that is, those are my three big takeaways. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. So I was so happy, you know, also so anxious because we are going to Africa. Personally, I never been there before. But however, you know, there are times that we have to challenge ourselves to go out of the comfort zone. This year, you know, our church dream is doing life together and also doing discipleship. So when you look up the cross, what does, you know, carry your own cross means? Two things I want to share, what I've learned in Africa. You know, one thing is that, you know, being a parent, we have kids here, my family is here. This is really the first Christmas I have never spent time with my family. But, you know, at the end, I think it is so joyful that, you know, I make the decision to go with the team. Team of six, we have Benny from English Congregation, and we have Ivy, Jenny, Nikki, myself, Reverend Law, we from different fellowship, different background. It is so good that, you know, different group from the church can come together and serve. I never feel like there is so much joy. But however, you know, when I see these faces, you know, we somehow don't know what to expect other than Reverend Law and Ivy. All the other four of us are first-timer to Africa. But, you know, there are so much, you know, I would like to, you know, take it maybe off the stage and share more with you. But today I just want to focus two things. One thing, one word for Africa is slow, very slow. The reason I say that is when you go to get your SIM card, we need the SIM card to do communication back home. It takes 1.5 hours. We were sitting there, waiting there, and the lady just typing slowly. Then give us the SIM card, and she make a mistake and then go back. This process took 1.5 hours. Next thing is the lunch that Pastor Mark, there was one of the pictures that Pastor Mark invited us to have lunch with them. It took 5 hours for lunch because they started to grab a chicken from the yard and then killing the chicken, taking off the feather. Then they start cooking. And even the stove is like a barbecue stove that you need to put charcoal and then put up the flame. So we are kind of prepared. We want to go to do evangelism. Let us go out to the village. But this is not the case. God somehow, you know, keep us in his house, listening to him. And, you know, when Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship, this is in Luke chapter 14. Each of us have our own cross. You know, I don't know what your cross is, but my cross, it could be, you know, any burden, you know, behind me, or even going on a short-term mission trip is kind of the cross for myself trying to carry. But, you know, the verses before that, Jesus talked about, you know, how family member will hate each other because of being his disciple. Through Pastor Mark, I can actually see it because, you know, he talked a lot about his family history. He was a fisherman. He can go back and do his own profession. But however, he took up his own cross, and that is the faith he has shown us and to touch us because his family kicked him out. His family persecuted him. And I just don't know how to describe it, but looking at his eyes, you can see that, you know, all the difficulties he has gone through, but there is still something in him, which is the joy in him. And, you know, yes, being a disciple of Jesus, you know, in Canada, in this church, we are lucky. Your parent might not, you know, persecute you. They may persecute you if you don't go to church. But however, you know, In this context, you know, we have to be ready because this is January. This coming year, I kind of encourage, you know, my brothers and sisters and the church is that Jesus' values is very different than what we think it is. And then are you ready to take that value and turn your life upside down? Being disciple of Jesus is to learn his value and follow his footprint and do what he's doing. And then one last point I want to share before passing it on is another verses I see the real of it is from John chapter 9:4. This says, you know, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming. Africa is not well-developed country. As Benny say, there's no water in some village, no electricity. And we kind of being lucky, we can stay in a home that had electricity, but there was two incidents that a power outage. And I can tell you, it is really, really dark in Africa. So dark that you cannot see a thing. There's no street light. And not only that, people are also really dark too. So there are cases I can only see the clothes walking without, because they are also black. So I kind of seeing, wow, other than the moon and the star, there's actually no more light. You cannot see. So the urgency, you know, is telling us that we can only do so much work during daytime. And then at nighttime, when the time is over, it's done. And there is only one chance maybe in our lifetime that we can speak to this brother and sister or non-believer in Africa. But we did it. 2 weeks is a short period of time. We might be only to just spread the gospel of the seeds. However, I know God will look after them. God is going to be sending someone to, you know, feed them with water and ask them to grow. So altogether, you know, not only we see their faith, but their faith also challenge us how to be disciple and how to believe Jesus in a different way than we always think we are at home here in Vancouver. Thank you, and I would like to pass the time to Jenny.
Hi, my name is Jenny. So I'm a mother of two. Before I came to Ghana, actually I have some worriness because I like it, but I'm not the type that when I see some kids, I will hug them, I will kiss them. Like sometimes I feel they are annoying because like I lost patience when I take care of my own kids. So I was like, if I go to Ghana, like there are tons of kids there. Like, will I have the same like passion? Will I have the same love towards my daughters? Same as like when I face Ghana kids. So I was assigned to cook the food for our team. I was not assigned to lead the child ministry. So I was a little bit, I didn't prepare anything to lead the child ministry. But at some point when we went to Ghana, I'm the one who lead the child ministry. So I was super not prepared. And I show you some pictures. This is the first time when we meet the Ghana kids. Those are the kids in Mission Compassion Canada that our church and our church people sponsor the kids. And before we went there, we prepare some. We got some balls from sponsor, and we have some prepare some stickers. We ask people to donate some Bible storybooks. And here is the first time I met those kids, and I fall in love with them. Like, from their eyes, it's very different from, like, when I see the kids here. Because their eyes are, they really want you to do something. They really look forward you to play with them and to talk with them and to speak with them. This is the first time I feel different, talk to the kids and play with the kids in Ghana. So, and this is the first time, or this is one of the big incidents. we went with Pastor Mark, and they drove us to somewhere. And then one point they said that, I don't know why he only remembered my name. And he asked me, oh, Jenny, let's go down. And then you and Xavier get off from this car, and like other people follow me. And then they drop me and Xavier off in front of one big house. And then Xavier went into the house and shared gospel with the adults. And at some point, there are about 10 to 20 kids come in front of me, and then look at me and wait for me to share gospel. Not look at me to share gospel, but they were waiting for me to talk something, to share something. So I grabbed my daughter's storybook and start to share. And then, 5 minutes after, I figured out they don't understand English. But I'm lucky. There's one lady, like maybe like one kid's mom. She knows about English, and then she start to translate for me. So I was very lucky. I spent like almost 1.5 hour, or maybe like more than 1.5 hour, to with those kids. And I play games. I did story time. I play with them, and I did some circle time. I do whatever I can at home to entertain the kids. And those are another time we play with the kids at the pastor house, and we did some calls, and because they don't understand English, so we can only make some calls and play games with them. And like, no matter where we go, like there are always some kids to follow us. We feel like superstars. And this is one big group. So when they like. As what Pastor Xavier said, we went to visit a couple of villages. And whenever we visit the village, there are tons of kids follow us. This is like when they see us, when they know that we have something to give to them, they keep calling their friends. So like at this group, there are more 100 kids to wait for us to give them some sticker and share gospel with them. And you see, like most of them has no shoes to wear, and I find out like from my observation, I find out like the kids near capital city has more chance to hear gospel, and the northern part who has more Muslim people to live, they don't have chance to speak they don't know much about English, and they may never hear gospel. Like the kids there, it doesn't look like the kids here. Like here, we have like parents to look after them. Like we care about our kids so much and stuff. But like the kids there, they just walk around with the goats and the chicken and the dogs. So like you see the goats like on the street, you see the chicken on the street, and you also see the children on the street without any. Parents to monitor them and look after them. And like when I talk to them and when I like talk story and when I ask the question, they might not know how old they are. So that is very surprising. Like they don't know how old they are, and they don't know when they were born. They don't know their birthday. And they might not heard about Jesus and not sure what's Christmas. We went there during the Christmas, but they don't know what day it is. Some of them. And when I asked for their prayer item, they said that they are upset because sometimes they don't have enough food to eat. That's very upsetting me. So, but they when they look at us, they really want to know more about us and anger to learn, like willing to pray. And like when like because I'm mother, when I look at the baby, I keep thinking like very physically, I'm thinking how they change the diaper. Do they ever have diaper? Like I really concerned about if they have diaper to change, but I don't think so. So like when I carry this baby, I figure out like, he has no diaper, and then he just pee on the ground. He just pee and they poo on the ground, and that's very surprising me too. Yeah, like they just let them pee and then let them poo, and then like if they carry, like they just carry it. And you see, like the kids there, like some poor village, they don't have clothes and they don't have enough food to wear. You can see their tummy is pretty big. And the kids are very dusty too, because it's very close to Sahara Desert. They never, like, I don't think they bathe. And it's very dusty everywhere. And they are. And the older kids, because, like, the mom really busy with work, they need to carry the kids. The older sister need to carry the kids, or the bigger brother need to take care of their siblings. So this is another like bigger village. I was when we went to the Sunday service, one person asked us, like, who wants to share the gospel to the kids. So I raised my hands because the Sunday service lasts about like 3 to 4 hours there. And I don't want to sit there and just sit there is like because I'm not very, I can't be focused that long. So I raised my hand and said, oh, let me bring, lead the children program. So like 30 to 40 kids follow me. And then I spent 1 hour to let them introduce themselves. I share gospel. I pray for them. And I do everything I can. It's only 1 hour after. So I spent another 2 hours to play games with them. So after I spent 3 to 4 hours, and then I figure out I'm dehydrated already. But like it's very different because this group of kids is different from the more northern village. They have more chance to hear gospel because we have more missionaries to visit that village. So that when I asked them, do you know what Christmas is? And they said that, yeah, they know. It's the day of Jesus born. And like, do you know like why we need to believe in Jesus? And they like one of the kids raised their hand and said that, oh, because Jesus used his blood to wash our sin. So I feel the importance about the missionary. So think about like right now, like our like we are busy with our school, maybe our work. We are busy with other like so many stuff. Like don't remember the most important is like we are so out focused right now for our daily life. The more focus, like the main thing is like there are lots of people, lots of tons of children, like. We don't have many chance to visit them, but they are, like, they always wait for us. They wait for, like, they wait for one chance and one time for us to share gospel. It makes a huge difference for the kids who never get a chance to hear gospel, or versus to the kids who hear gospel. Yeah. So that's.
My name is Ivy. Can you hear me? It's my third time going to Ghana, so it was still very exciting, and everything that my teammate shared, I experienced it before, but because this is my third time, all the culture shock and the culture shocking and eye-opening stage is already over, somewhat. At least I didn't need to take 1,000 photos, and I didn't take photos of the chicken, the goat, and the road. I focused. I think this time I have more time. I spend more energy on listening and sharing, like talking to people into a more deep, engage into a deeper conversation, and also spend more time observing. Each time there's a little bit different. It's my first time having the opportunity to speak with, to meet with three Chinese missionaries working in Ghana. And it's very different from hearing missionaries in Vancouver, in our own church. When we were there, we listened to individual cases, individual story. One of the missionaries, Pastor Matthew, at the bottom, photo. He lives near a university, and his main focus is sharing the gospel with the teenagers. So it's very challenging for them because the whole when we listen to their stories and their struggles, their whole ministry is focused on teenagers. But the Muslim community put a lot of resources into the education system, so they have a very systematic education. If the teenager wants to have good education, have a good future, they have to go to the Islamic school, private school, and if the parents are Muslim, they're automatically part of the religious as well. So if they want to, if they have any sign of changing their religious, leaving Muslim, for example, if the teenager found that were found attending or listening to a Christian missionary or attending a Christian event, they will literally get killed. So we heard many stories from these missionaries, and it's very shocking to me. Another event that I want to share is a memorable event. It's when we were sharing at, when we visited Pastor Mark, the guys, Pastor Xavier and the guys were talking to Pastor Mark about the ministry plan, while the ladies, me including, were playing with Pastor Mark's daughters and the church kids. So we were playing inside the house, and sooner or later, sooner we found the house is inside, it's too hot, so we went outside. And outside of the house, as we play, other kids pass by, and you can see from the photos, there's one Islamic kid standing outside of the fence. And as we play, I noticed a group of Muslim kids standing outside of the fence, I tried to invite them in, I motioned them in, but they didn't seem to respond to me. So I'm not sure it's because my motion is not obvious enough or what. At the end, I had to bring all the toys and the boys outside of the fence and play with them for a little while before, and kind of attract them, lead them inside the fence. Once we're inside the fence, I was like, okay, good, we can play together with the church kids. But the reality is the Islamic kids just stood at the sideline watching, and the church kids just play on their own. So when I saw this, when I noticed this, I thought to myself, it's very familiar. It's almost like what the Christian community is sometimes, because it's human nature to hang out with people who look the same, who have the similar background. But are we ready to go outside of our fence, go outside of our home field to share the gospel and attract them? And once we share the gospel and they get to know God, are we ready to open our hearts and welcome them into our lives instead of just being polite and bring them to church and that's the end of the story? So that's give me a very deep reflection. It might be just a very simple and short event, but when I was there, it gives me a very deep reflection to reflection upon myself, to ask more questions about, to challenge myself when I'm back to Vancouver, hanging out with my friends, am I ready to accept people of different culture or who looks the same into my life and bring them to God? And that's my story. Thank you.